Anybody have any prayer requests this morning? Jennifer? For personal? Yeah, for Dee and Kenna? Appreciate prayers for John Eichmann and his wife Linda. A couple more pastors have gone on to be with the Lord. That's what's happening. All these doctrinal men are getting older and they're dying. As you know, as I mentioned this morning, we're starting Wednesday. We're going to go to have a midweek service again. I need it. And that'll be Wednesdays 7 to 8. So remember to be here with your bells and,
With our bells on?
With your bells on. Well, we've had two midweek services for like 40 years or something and gotten away from that partly because of my health. But if I'm going to go out, I want to go out guns blazing, so to speak. Who else has a prayer request? I guess somebody threw some rocks through the window. I guess they're mad because they couldn't get into the church. If we got to put an iron wall around this thing, that's what we'll do. Yeah, whatever's easier for right now. If we have to get more of that metal cloth, we'll put that all around the whole damn building. But there's a lot of demonic activity. And you know, with drug use, it brings demons. Wherever they go. So also pray for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren for their intake of the Word of God, that they'd have a love for Christ and His Word that stands out above everything. We need that. All of us here need to be in that particular vein of thought. Remember your ministry of giving as well as praying for the church. And what else? Anybody else have any other prayer requests? Lee?
Melissa will be having a baby.
Yeah, got another grandkid coming. Grandkids are neat. Great grandkids are even better. All right, let's bow for a silent prayer. Appreciate your prayers for me. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the word and for your grace and for the honor and privilege of sitting under your word. And we just pray this morning that we might be motivated and encouraged to live the Christian life by faith. For we thank you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew chapter 7. And again, strength and energy for me as I take on an extra class. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. We were on the grammar last week and it's so important. It always is, but especially in this. Especially in the idea of strengthening our faith. Of giving us faith to. Because we live by faith. That means we not only make our decisions in faith, but we also pray in faith, we seek in faith, and we knock in faith. We do what Christ tells us to do here. And in the first part of this verse, we have three verbs, asking, seeking, and knocking. And all three of these verbs are in the present active imperative. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's all part of divine inspiration. It's what the Holy Spirit has given us to do, and He's given us the Word. So keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Now, the present tense tells us that this is to be done continually in our lives. Throughout the day, how many times a day is to be done on a continual basis. Each one of them is to be done continually. The active voice tells us that the subject produces the action of the verb. So what are the verbs? Asking, seeking, and knocking. You are held, and I, are held responsible to ask God, to seek after certain things, and to knock on doors. We have to do that. Now, the imperative mood is a mood of command, and it's a call to action. Call to what action? What is God calling us to do? Ask, seek, and knock, right? Those are the three verbs. So the mood is always a mood of command. So Christ is commanding us to ask, to keep on asking, to seek, to keep on seeking, and to keep on knocking. He's commanding us to do that. Why would he do that?
Because we need it.
Well, we need it. Because he knows that the Father will grant our request. He knows that. He wouldn't ask us. And by the way, this asking, and it will be given to you, that's a dative of advantage, which means it's to our advantage to keep on asking God. God would never do anything bad for us or anything that wasn't good for us. He wouldn't give us anything that wouldn't be good for us. That's what the dative advantage is about. It's about benefit. If you do this, if you ask God for something, and if it's to your benefit, what will happen? It will be given to you. If it's to your advantage, to your benefit, God will give it to you. You have to become convinced of this in your own mind, in your own heart. And you must do this even though you have reluctance or doubts or whatever, you still must do it. You just keep on asking. That's the present active imperative. Keep on seeking and keep on knocking on doors. It's an aggressive faith that you take with you the rest of your life. To me, this is such a fantastic passage. In this is the Christian life. This is why you see little old ladies in Baptist churches or Lutheran churches who go to prayer meeting and pray at home all the time and read their Bibles. This is why you see God taking care of them and blessing them. Because they keep on asking God for certain things. Like that widow woman that bugged the heck out of that judge. And he finally got tired of hearing her and he just granted her request. He says, if an unrighteous judge will do that, what about your righteous Father? How will he not with you give you more things? If you doubt this, you're doubting Christ. You have an evil heart of unbelief. You need to catch yourself. So our translation on this, because of the grammar, ends up being keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking on doors. What do I do? Is this a one-off time? A one-shot? I'll see if God does anything, if not, forget it? Is that what this is saying? No, it's saying that you're to keep on doing this. So this talks about perseverance. I don't feel like it. We don't care what you feel like. What are you to do? Keep on doing it. You see, you got to stop that crap. You got to grow up. If Christ says, do it, do it. And how often do I do it? Continually. I'm going to do it today, and I'm going to do it tomorrow. So how many times do I do it? All the time. Over everything. You're also told to pray about everything and worry about nothing. You see, Mine is not the reason why. Mine is but to do and die. Mine is to do what he tells me to do. Do that. And don't worry about the rest. Because if I do that, the ball is in his court. I've done what he told me to do. Now it's up to him to do what he said he'd do. Isn't that right? Keep on asking over and over, day after day, about everything under the sun. You keep asking. And it will. How do you spell will? M-I-G-H-T? It's not that it might be given to you, but that it will be given to you. The word will, when used of God, speaks of future certainty. It actually is going to absolutely happen. Without a doubt, God will give it to you. So where's the iffiness in that? You see, if you need to be careful because you're on the verge of calling God a liar. When you say, I don't think he cares, I don't think he'll answer, blah, 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 you're calling God a liar. Because you're saying he won't do it. When he definitely came out and said, I will do it. Future tense tells us, when will this occur? When will it occur that God grants you what you asked for? You don't know. He tells you right there in the future indicative. And what does that say? It will happen when? At some point in time in the future. It might be a second later. You might get it a month later. You might get it, well, like Abraham, 35 years later. But he got the boy, didn't he? And if he could wait that long, who are we? I mean, think about that. Day after day, and the monotony of raising sheep, waiting for the thing he wanted in his heart the most. But it came. Isaac actually was born. And the first time in the history of the universe, something different happened. A child born of the promise was born. And there never was an Isaac in the universe, and then there was. Wow. And what happened through that boy? Another son was born, Jacob. And what happened with that boy? 12 sons were born and a daughter. And these 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. And there was a boy born in one of the tribes. His name was Jesus. So, is it important to have the faith rest walk with God? Is it important to ask God? Yeah. The whole universe changed because of that. Christ was born, Christ died, Christ was raised from the dead by the Father, and that's why we and millions of others, perhaps billions, of people who believed on him are going to live forever and be kings and priests. So is it important? You better bet it's important. And you have the opportunity today to change the universe by your prayers. Do you think Satan wants you to do that? You think Satan wants you to pray? God is the one who's providing the power and everything needed to bring your prayers into existence. What an amazing, you see, there's reality and there's non-reality. The Greek has four verbs. One denotes reality and the other three denote unreality. It could be real, but it's not. So before Isaac was born, it was not real. But now it's real. And you have the opportunity, the privilege and the blessing of bringing into existence that which does not exist or occur. You, every one of you and me have the opportunity to bring something new into reality in the universe, to change the plan of God. You're just making too little of this. Oh, well, it's interesting. Yeah, it sounds good. People say it all over the world, ask not, you have not, and all that kind of stuff. They say that. But for us, we believe it. It's true. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. So if it isn't true, you're calling the Holy Spirit a liar. And you're calling Jesus Christ a liar. And you're calling the Father a liar. I don't think I want to be standing too close to you. Because you see what you're doing with your unbelief? Just do what he tells you to do. Don't try to figure it out. Just believe him. You know, that's all the Father asks. As you believe him. Believe him. Do what he says. You have not because you ask not. You ask but don't get it because you ask according to your lust. Well, we've discussed the lust problem many times. There's some things I know that are lust. I don't ask for those. There's other things that I'm not sure about. Not quite sure if it's a lust or not. So what do? I ask for it and put it in God's hands. I'm safe that way. I let him figure it out. And if he says no, remember, no isn't always no. What is it? Later. When you have the maturity to handle it, that's when you'll get it. I mean, God could snap his fingers, we'd all be rich, but what would that do? Half of you would go off for the wine and women route. It would get us by the nose and lead us astray. And we don't want that, do we? Because we don't have the maturity to handle it. Either the money or the position. I wish I could enforce how much important this is to all of us to keep on asking. In faith, and to keep on seeking in faith. I watched, as I said last week, I watched the gold shows. Being raised in Oroville, it always piqued my curiosity about gold, and I understand it. You're going through a bunch of dirt, and here's all of a sudden there's a gold nugget. That has value. You can buy stuff with that, do things with that. That's a cool thing. These guys are seeking after gold, not because they're mildly interested in it, but they want it. And if they keep on seeking, will you think they find it? Yeah, they do. What do they call that? You got one of those. Is that a high bar?
High bank.
You ever get anything with it?
A little bit.
Yeah, see? A little bit.
Yeah,
that's cool.
You know, with just turkey basters?
Yep. And a pan. They're allowed to have a pan.
A lot of gold just
well, what they say? They're just doing that on a weekend, they can make an extra $30,000 a year. If you're on unemployment, it's a good way to be unemployed. And I know where a lot of gold is, to be honest with you. I'm not interested in gold. I'd do that. I told your son, he never went down there. The Oroville Dam, when it was built, there was more gold in the dam than what the dam cost to build. I used to watch guys that worked out there, pickups, full of pay, drive over to Bedrock. You ever go down to Bedrock and go swimming?
I'm sure I have.
Yeah, it's down there, the lower end of the Feather.
We'd grab 5-gallon buckets and pan it on the weekend.
Yeah, they'd fill their pickup full of dirt, come down and be a $150 pickup load. But that was when gold was 35 bucks an ounce. So that's like 10 ounces of gold. At today's prices, 20,000 bucks. Not bad for a weekend work, huh? I know where they got it. You can drive out there and see it. But I don't care about gold. I have my gold. And what is my gold? The Word of God, Bible doctrine, wisdom. That's gold. And these guys, some of them are successful at it, and that's fine. But look, life is over, and then the only gold you take into eternity is the gold of doctrine that you have in your soul. So which is more important? Well, obvious to me, that's more important. Proverbs chapter 8. So whatever it is in life that you're seeking after, seek after it in the hands of God. When I came back to the Lord in the 60s, my prayer request that I would be the richest guy in Northern California. Really was. I wanted to be successful in business. I wanted to make money. And I wanted to have more money than anybody else. And I did. Except I didn't specify the coin. Am I the richest guy in California, Northern California? Probably. But I'm rich in doctrine, in wisdom, in knowledge, and what God has blessed me with. And in grace, when you got saved, or anybody gets saved, you chose for the grace option. Now, the normal option, which everybody had to take, was justice. So under justice, it means that we're opting for God to deal with us on the basis of his justice. And he's always fair. He's always just. But he also gave us another option, and that's for him to deal with us on the basis of grace. And if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you've chosen for the grace option. Now it means that God is personally working with you in your life and has all of these things for you. And one of them is his plan. God's plan for my life was different than what I wanted for my life. As you can see, I wanted money like all other idiots out there. I wanted to be rich. But with his plan, he had a plan for my life. And it was to be a pastor. Hardest thing in the world you ever do, but you wouldn't change it for the world. But his grace plan for me also goes on into eternity. He chose a plan for me and every one of you. And in eternity, it's to be a king, it's to be a priest, to have a palace, to serve him throughout eternity. You're going to serve the eternal God for all eternity. What a privilege, what an honor, what a blessing that is. And you're preparing for that. That's a purpose of Bible doctrine. You're preparing for that now. God has taken you under his wing as a very important believer. And this is all a part of it. So we need to remember these things as we ask and seek and knock. I understand people seek after college educations, they seek after degrees, they seek after good careers and professions and jobs that pay good money. It's understandable. But that always has to be mitigated by the will of God for your life. So whenever you ask God for anything, always put in the caveat, according to thy will. The Son, remember the Son? The day before he was crucified, he sweat great drops of blood. Because he knew what he's up against. And he says, nevertheless, Father, let thy will be done. Right then he decided for the suffering of the cross and for the saints of God. He chose that route because of his love for us and the Father. He went through the most horrible pain and suffering that any human being has ever experienced. He did it because he loved us so much. So, remember that when you're praying and you're seeking and you're knocking. Because you see, every one of us will have the choice to go the way of the world, to go the way of the flesh, the devil, or to go the way of God, what he wants for our lives. And when we ask, we're to keep on asking. And I don't have a problem with bugging him over and over. Why should I? Well, maybe he didn't hear me. Maybe I didn't say it right. Maybe I was out of fellowship when I prayed for it. And I'm going to keep on praying. That's asking. And to keep on seeking. And to keep on knocking. Because when I continue to pray, I'm building up my faith. And I'm doing this so that I can get 100% faith and no doubts whatsoever. I have a method to my madness. I just keep it up until I get to the place I actually believe he's going to do it. So how many times do I have to do that to get that place? I don't know. Till I get it. 50, 100, 500, okay. Don't matter to me. Because at the maximum level of the development of faith is confidence. And you want to be confident that what you've asked God for, he's going to do it. That's why we keep on asking. It's not that he's hard of hearing. It's not that he doesn't want to do it, because he already said he wants to do it. In fact, he commanded us to do it because that's what he wants to do. He wants to bless us with stuff. So I just keep on asking till I have no doubts whatsoever that what I've asked God for, he's going to give it to me. And he's going to give it to me because it's beneficial to me. It's to my advantage, right? That's why he doesn't give you lust. He doesn't grant your lust. Tell me why. Because lusts aren't good for us. Ask any drug addict. Ask anybody who has a weight problem or an alcohol problem or a TV problem. Because they're not good for us. The other is good for us. Whatever he does will be to our blessing, to our advantage, to our benefit, and it'll be good for us. So I keep asking him. And if you got this little chirping voice says in your head that doesn't do any good, smack yourself in the head and tell it to shut up. Because you got to forge ahead in faith, not understanding any of it. But just do as you're told to do. That's the thing I like about my military background. Questions, you can answer your questions as you're doing what you're told to do. And if you've ever been in the military, you know what a command is. It's doing it. Even if it kills you, and sometimes you're looking at that possibility, when you obey orders, it may end up in your death. But you do it because why? You've been commanded to do it. This is an important command. There's three of them. To keep on asking, to keep on seeking, and to keep on knocking. Now, it switches over in the next verse, Matthew 7:8. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. We have three more verbs again, same verbs, different grammar. The first three times, present active imperative. Keep on asking, etc. The next time, the one who is asking, seeking, knocking, those three are in the present active participles. The active voice shows the subject, believers, are producing the action of the verb, right? Asking, seeking, knocking. Now, the present participle denotes something different. It shows that they're doing this continually, as a way of life, as a practice. So what has happened? By obeying the command of asking, seeking, and knocking, by obeying that command, they're doing it all the time, because they're doing it every day, right? They're obeying Christ's command to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and they're doing it day after day after day. Now that becomes what we call a participial form. It becomes a way of life. So as a way of life, you're always asking. Like you get up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, maybe breakfast. Some people get up in the morning, have a cup of coffee and a cigarette. Every day they get up, same old, same old. Read their Bible maybe, and go to work. Next day, same old, same old. Day after day, that's all they do. That's a way of life. Like, people go to church on Sundays. Maybe they didn't start out very regimented in that area, but they ended up going to church Sunday after Sunday, midweek prayer service, and so forth. That's a present active participle. Now, it becomes a way of life to these believers. And what is a way of life? Everyone, really, the one who is asking, not to the ones who are not asking, is to those believers, to the ones who are asking as a way of life, what happens? They're the ones receiving. They're the ones that God is giving things to them. Why? Because they're asking God day after day till it becomes a way of life for them. And to the believer who does that, he's giving things to. It will be given to them. What is the it? What they've asked for. So, if you want to be receiving things from God as a grace gift in the future, periodically, day after day, throughout your life in the future, how do you get to that place? What do? You ask God each and every day of your life for things. And as a way of life, down the road, you will be receiving these things. And it's like manna from heaven. Like blessings from God abound day after day. But who's that for? That's for those believers who are asking God day after day. God never does anything for me. I've heard that till I want to puke. Literally, it's swill. Well, it just tells me you're not praying. You're not praying in faith. And those who are seeking things as a way of life, as a way of life, they're going to be finding things in the future. And the same with knocking. If you're obeying God and knocking on door after door of opportunity, and that's become your way of life, in the future, doors are going to be open for you as a way of life in the future. So if you want to have a rich future in your life, rich in blessings, what do you need to do? Oh my gosh. Really? You can't remember that long? I mean, I just mentioned it 5 minutes ago. If you want to ensure blessings coming to you from God out of heaven in the future. Boom, ba boom, ba boom, day after day. What do I have to do today? Ask, seek, knock. What do I have to do tomorrow? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And down the road in the future, you're going to get this stuff. But down the road in the future, you're not only going to get them, it's going to become a way of life for you. Do you want to have that as a way of life? Then you start today. I don't care what you think or feel, just do what you're damn told to do. Is that the language I have to use with a bunch of hillbillies? I guess so. Oh my goodness. Turn to Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Okay, what's the wind and the rain and all that about? What do you guys say? The winds, the rains, the storm. The storms speak of the trials in life that we go through, the suffering. And I would dare say that everyone in this building today has gone through storms this year in their life. Could be physical, could be social, could be family, could be your health, finances. We've all had this happen, and not to mention the craziness outside the door. We've all had stuff happen to us. These are the storms and trials of life. So as I mentioned earlier, the stuff I went through, I kept going back to things I taught 30, 40 years ago. And I would bring them up and I had to apply them. What was I doing? I took the stuff I had learned, Bible doctrine. That's what I hung on to get me through what I was going through today. It gave me the spiritual strength to go through stuff when I didn't want to. But you just keep bringing out doctrine, even though you don't feel like it, even though you've given up inside, the Word of God will carry you through. That's what you build your life upon. You build your life upon the teaching of Bible doctrine. And it'll get you through your trials, because we all will go through trials again, and we've gone through many. And sometimes you want to give up, but you grab this verse or that verse or that teaching or that teaching, and you hang on to that in faith, and you make it through today, and you make it through tomorrow, and you get through to the other side. It's just getting that verse out, that teaching, that doctrine, that tape, and it'll carry you through. And that's why we talk about these things. And if you don't know, you keep asking. God, I don't know what to do. That's an honest prayer request. And that's James 1:5, isn't it? If any of you lack wisdom, and we do, first class condition, we must keep on asking, and he will give us the wisdom. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is the teaching that you need to get through the trial that you're going through. Simply put, wisdom is doctrine applied to your experience. And it will do it. It got Christ through the cross and his journey down into hell, and it'll get you through whatever you're having to go through. But you have to ask. And when we ask, we're thinking about jobs or stuff like that, you know, that's fine. But wisdom too. If you lack the wisdom that you need to get through the trial that you're going through, and you do lack the wisdom, can you tie that in with Matthew 7? Keep on asking. Keep on asking. And he will give you the wisdom. It may take a second, a day, a week, a month, a year, who knows. But he will give it to you. And you will pass your test. But remember, Wednesday, 7 o'clock, bells on. Pray for me for strength and energy, because I'm still fighting through this stuff. So, all right, let's bow for a silent prayer. Father, we do thank you so much for your grace and your blessing and your provisions in our lives, and being blessed to be honored to take in your word and be called your children. We thank you and ask in Christ's name. Amen.